Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, and I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening and even join in the conversation. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. You can give us a call at our phone number at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'd love to hear from you tonight. And check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And let's go ahead and open our program this evening with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. Pray that you would bless and watch over us, Lord, this evening. Use the program for your glory tonight. Just pray that we'd be a blessing to somebody this evening. And also pray that you would just help us to point people that are searching to Christ and encourage believers in their walk with you. And we just thank you for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, it's been a most unusual winter here in northeastern Ohio. It is very pleasant out there. It's kind of nice not having to struggle through the snow and the ice coming into the station here on Sunday nights in February, but not complaining too much, obviously. Kind of nice having it. Came out of church tonight and said, you know, it's really nice. It's not in the 10, you know, in the teens or below 10 or something like that, and snow and ice blowing around. It's really kind of pleasant out here right now. And it made the other day when we had that, Friday, I think it was, we only had a high of about 25 degrees or something like that. It just seemed unusually cold, but in reality, that's more the typical of what it should be right now. And so I'm enjoying these warmer temperatures. I hope you are too, and hope you're able to get some things done outside. But nevertheless, I am looking forward to spring. I've been watching the daffodils and things like that sprouting up. I got a number of them, and they're already several inches high. And I'm looking forward to seeing those early spring blooms. A friend of mine posted online pictures of crocus blooming in his yard this past week. And that's a pretty good early time for the crocuses to be blooming. And I actually been getting some maple sap here from a sugar maple tree in our backyard. And I there's a couple other trees I've tapped in the past, but I just did the one this year. And I got out early with that and already had a chance to make some syrup from that. And it's just, it's kind of nice. So get out and enjoy it if you can. Certainly I was looking out last night, and it was too cloudy. Tonight was a lot clearer, and looking up in the northern sky, trying to see if you can see any hint of the northern lights. There was a massive solar flare and ejection, mass coronal ejection from the sun recently, and this weekend they were saying that we could expect to see northern lights as a result of this solar flare, coronal ejection, material hitting the Earth's atmosphere, and that you could see them as far south as northeastern Ohio, potentially. Haven't noticed any. Maybe where you're at, you've had the opportunity to see some. If you're a little further north, I know we have listeners in Canada, probably had a much better chance there than here. And obviously, if you're out somewhere where it's dark, where you can see the night sky pretty clear, if you're in an area like that, you might want to look. You might still see some. It sure would have been nice to see it on my way up here tonight, but I can't say that I saw anything. But whatever the case is, I'm glad to be here tonight. Hope you're glad to be here with us as well. And as I said before, I'm Pastor Al Davis, and I am the pastor of the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. You can check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you can not only learn more about me and about the program, but you can also link to our home church there, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. You can also listen to past programs, our Friday afternoon programs, our Sunday night programs, both the 10 o'clock and the 11 o'clock hours are both there as separate audio files, so you don't have to try and listen to the entire thing. You can just listen to a little bit of it there. You can also go on there and not only past programs, but some articles and things that I have that are written there, and some other odds and ends that we have there at livewithpastoral.com. Well, wanted to share a couple of things also with you here and alert you to a couple of things here before we start taking calls. Heard from my good friend Alan Jenkins with Nehemiah Network, and I was hoping to have him on, but he's not feeling so well, so certainly pray for him and his wife that they'll be feeling better. So he wasn't up to being on the radio tonight, but of course, to those of you who are longtime listeners, familiar with Brother Jenkins calling in periodically, we've talked with him when there's a natural disaster somewhere, and he has been involved with a variety of things, fires, floods, tornadoes, hurricanes, all kinds of things. And they are gearing up with some efforts to bring clean drinking water into East Palestine, Ohio, and the surrounding areas there. And if you want to contact them, you can contact Nehemiah's Network and drop off water donations. If you have some bottled water you'd like to donate, or perhaps send in some donations to Nehemiah's Network, and the address is 4488 West 160th Street, Cleveland, Ohio. That's Nehemiah's Network, 4488 West 160th Street, Cleveland, Ohio. Unfortunately, I just realized I don't have the zip code for that. Maybe we get that zip code. I'll add that on a little bit later. If you'll do that, you can find out more. Contact them there at 4488 West 160th Street in Cleveland, Ohio. They have a really nice warehouse facility there, and you can drop off water donations there. And if you've been watching the stories out of East Palestine, I would not drink the water there myself. I was watching a video this past week. Senator Vance, J.D. Vance, our new senator here in Ohio, from Ohio, was out there, and he took a stick and he drug it along the creek bottom, and you could see an iridescent shine, a film, like an oily chemical film on the surface of the water began to appear. And then I saw another video. Somebody took a rock and they tossed it into a slow-moving part of a stream, and it was just like big round circles of iridescent oily chemical sheen on the water started erupting on the surface of the water. And that tells me that chemical is down in the mud, and when the mud is disturbed, it comes up into the water. So even though the water may be flushing through, and it's still leaving a lot behind, and I can't help but wonder what's happening with the dragonfly larvae and nymphs and things that are in there, the crayfish and different things, the turtles and frogs and all that are down there in that mud with those chemicals. And there's going to be still a long time cleaning up and finding out all the impact of this area, or in this area, after this tragic train derailment. And of course, we have not talked about it as much. It was kind of eclipsed because it happened at the same time as the huge earthquakes in Turkey and in Syria, and the damage, the horrific damage. I believe last I heard the death toll over there is over 45,000, and that's probably still going to increase. They're still having buildings come down, and still very tragic. But this situation in East Palestine, Ohio, although we've not been seeing tons of people dying, it's still an ecological disaster here in the making, and we still don't know the full effects of this. And you know what the irony of ironies is, and this has certainly got conspiracy people wondering, about 6 months or so ago, back in August, Netflix aired a movie about a train carrying several cars of toxic chemicals, and I think it might have been vinyl chloride, even in the movie. I'm not 100% sure. But in the movie, the train derails near East Palestine, Ohio, and it releases a toxic cloud of chemicals into the air, forcing evacuations of people. And guess what? A number of the residents of East Palestine were extras in the movie, only to have this happen now in real life, which of course makes people wonder, wait a minute, they had a movie and a train derailed almost exactly where it derailed in real life, and only 6 or so months later. What's going on here? I don't know. I remember listening to somebody who was saying that there is a phenomena where people who are kind of, you know, borderline psychotic or whatever, they see something and they want to emulate it. Could that be it? Then there's also the concern, is it some kind of terroristic activity? And so you say, well, if it is, and the people in the movies were in on it, why'd they do the movie? Why'd they let us know what was going to happen? And to be perfectly honest, I don't know, but I do know one thing. The Bible says that we will live in troublesome times, perilous times. In fact, Paul told Timothy in the last days it would be perilous times. And when we see these sorts of things taking place, these chemical spills, these derailments like this, these other disasters, when we see things that are happening in our food chain, the food processing plants, the egg farms that are suddenly having airplanes crash into them, or mysterious explosions and things taking place. Well, as I said, Paul's told Timothy, and it's in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. And I believe we're in those last days. He goes on to describe the characteristics. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers. Yeah, I was just thinking of the saga that we had of the so-called Russian collusion narrative about President Donald Trump, how for years he was dogged with this thought that he colluded with the Russians to steal the presidency. And certainly that has been proven to be false accusations. And then when the Hunter Biden laptop came out, which we knew about years ago, the media covered it up, and the mainstream media covered up the social sites on the internet were blocking any kind of coverage of it, any reporting on it. And a number of former intelligence officers authored a letter. And James Clapper, former head of the CIA, was the first signature on there saying that they believe the Hunter laptop was a Russian hoax that was being promoted essentially by Trump supporters, and that there's nothing there. It was false, and they were accusing people on the right of colluding with Russia to make this up. And now, after all these years, and everything, Hunter Biden said, well, you know, actually it's my laptop after all. And, it's been proven that, it is, and that the, 50 intelligence officers that authored the letter were making false accusations. Well, again, getting back here to 2 Timothy chapter 3, And that was in verse 3, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce despisers of those that are good. He goes on, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. And he warns about the dangerous times that we would be in, the perilous times that we would be in. He continues as he goes down through here. He says in verse 12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Well, you know, that's not the type of thing you see on an inspirational poster hanging up in somebody's office or house, is it? Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, 2 Timothy 3:12. But this is one of the promises, and we're seeing this happening. A woman in England had been arrested for praying silently, not saying anything, not obstructing traffic, praying silently outside of an abortion clinic. And she was later let go and exonerated. And now I guess a minister recently was arrested also for praying silently outside of an abortion clinic, you know, going after these people like that. But he continues here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving, and he says, and being deceived. And ain't that the truth? I mean, these people deceiving others and growing worse and worse by the day, but they're also being deceived themselves. You know, I've read a number of books talking about communism and the progress of communism and the philosophy behind a revolution and things like that. And communists love to use what they call useful idiots, people think that when the communists take over, they're going to be favored status. And generally speaking, those are some of the first people to be executed. And the reason is the communists use them while they can. And then once they take over, they're of no use to them. And they figure, hey, if they were willing to betray their own country, willing to betray their own government, why would we trust them? And so the useful idiots value comes to an end, and they're some of the first to go. Some of these people, they're deceiving people left and right while being deceived themselves. They think that when the world government comes to power, the globalist sees power, they're going to be privileged, and many of them will probably be some of the first to go. They're being deceived themselves. But he continues on here in verse 14, and what's the solution when we live in perilous times? What's the solution when evil men and seducers wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived? Well, it's right here. God does not leave us without an answer, without a solution to this problem. He uses Paul to give us the solution, the answer here. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14, he says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. In other words, remember what you've been taught, the things you've been taught about God, about the Bible, about Christ, and the people that taught that to you. And he says then in verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So not only remember the things that you have learned and been assured of, and remembering those that taught it to you, the godly teachers that you had, but also remember the scriptures which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And then he says in verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. There's the answer. We are definitely in the last days. We are in perilous times. Evil men and seducers are waxing worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Don't let somebody take you out of the Word of of God. Don't let somebody trick you off into some experience. Don't let somebody pull you off into some new revelation. Stick with the Word of God. Get a King James Bible. If you're looking for the Bible in the English language, stick with the King James Bible. And realize that you have the Word of God in your hand and that it is profitable for doctrine. It is profitable for reproof. It is profitable for correction. It is profitable for the instruction in righteousness. Why? Because it's given by inspiration of God. Paul didn't think this up on his own. The Spirit of God gave this to him, and he wrote it down. And it's preserved by God for us today. Why? Verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We need the Scriptures. Don't let anything get you out of the Scriptures in these latter days. You know, the whole problem we have right now comes from the fact that the devil attacked what God said back in the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 3 when he said to Eve, "Yea, hath God said." He got her to doubt God's word, got her to lean to her own understanding rather than the Scriptures. And, well, one thing led to another. She ate the forbidden fruit. Adam saw what she had done, chose to align himself with Eve, ate the forbidden fruit, and, well, as the Bible says, by one man, sin entered into the world and death by sin. And we've had this problem ever since. Well, as I said, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Our phone number is 888-677-9673. Let me give you a couple pieces of information here real quick before we get to our calls here tonight. Coming up Sunday, February 26, a week from today, in Kent, Ohio, we have... advertised as a child-friendly drag queen show over in Kent at the Scribbles Coffee Company in Kent, Ohio. And there are some protests being planned as some Christians are getting involved in this and some others are involved to peacefully protest there. And then also on March 11th, Wednesday, March 11th at 11 a.m., they have a rock and roll humanist drag queen story hour that's supposed to be kids friendly. And then, before that, actually, on March the 4th, Saturday, March the 4th, in Cleveland, we have, near West Theater on Detroit Avenue in Cleveland, we have the Cleveland Drag Queen Storytime scheduled. And again, these are all described as kid-friendly. Now, here's the thing. If instead of men dressed up in caricatures of women, and doing these provocative dance moves and things like that, and having children right there with them shaking their backside and body parts right in the face of children, and having children reach out and put money inside of their garments. Now imagine this. They're saying this is child friendly. What if instead of men dressed in widely exaggerated caricatures of women, instead of men like this, what if this was actual women dressed like this, very provocatively, and shaking them their backside in the faces of children, and children being prompted to go put money in their undergarments and things like that? There'd be outrage if this was women doing this. We would say, well, you've got to be at least 18 or 21 or whatever to be able to go into a venue like that. But for some reason, when you change it from a woman to a man dressed in an outrageous character of dressed as an outrageous character of a woman, suddenly it's kid friendly. I don't understand that. Well, actually, I do. It's called grooming and desensitizing. If you'd like to know more about what you can do if this is something that offends you or is outrage to you, go to Telegram. If you're not on Telegram, you can sign up. It's easy. Go to Telegram at Ohio Call to Action on the Telegram app on your phone or computer, and then join Ohio Call to Action, and you'll find updates and details if you would like to be involved trying to protest against these drag queen story hours that are basically targeting our children. If you recall, back in December, we talked about one down in Columbus. It was supposed to be the Holly Drag show, and they were able to get that canceled. The one in Wadsworth, they did change the venue as a result of the threat of protests. And there is an effort underway. The Biden administration, I've had more than one person tell me that there is money coming out of the Biden administration trying to push these things. Let me tell you, Wadsworth is not known as a far-left liberal enclave, believe me. I go to Wadsworth all the time. And so it's anything but a far-left liberal enclave. But they are targeting places like this because they are, it's a concerted effort. And, we're not going to spend any more time on that right now, but I did want to share that with you again. Go to Telegram, sign up. You can sign up for free on Telegram and find the channel Ohio Call to Action, and you can find out more information and updates and details. We'll probably say something about this again next week as well. Is there not a cause, as David said when he was challenged about taking on Goliath? Is there not a cause? And certainly, God's people ought to stand up and say, hey, there's a point where we have to say, no, this is not right. Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Our phone number is 888-677-9673. And we've got Nancy, who's been patiently waiting for us here tonight. Nancy, welcome to the program this evening.
Oh, hi, Pastor Al. Thank you for taking my call.
Good evening.
And you did discuss something that I was going to bring up regarding the train derailment in East Palestine.
Mm-hmm.
And you did mention that film where they talked about a train derailment that did involve East Palestine. I was just wondering if this was done deliberately. Some of the the evil forces, the New World Order, or those that are on the left that are really actively trying to contribute to their goal of depopulation, from 7 billion down to 500 million. So this is just one more way of killing people off, because it seems like a very, very serious derailment and huge contamination, which is already killing the poor animals that are outside that can't escape. They're coming very sick. And then I would not be surprised if it started killing people, because I know some people have gotten very ill from all the toxicity in the air. So do you think it's... Oh, and also, did you notice that Senator Sherrod Brown and, the Democrat, and Senator J.D. Vance, the Republican, that they're both... I was so happy that here is, Republicans and Democrats going to Washington to push for help in this huge contamination situation, which, as you know, that area is Trump country.
Well, and not only Trump country, but it's flyover country. Hey, Nancy, the break is going to come up in a minute, so obviously we'll have to address these things on the other side of the break, if you can hold there. And you're talking about East Palestine there, and at first I thought they were mispronouncing it, but it's actually pronounced Palestine, and I point that out for a reason. Somebody said, if they pronounced it the way it would be elsewhere in the world, if you call it East Palestine, they could call themselves Palestinians, and maybe they would get some attention, but... kind of a somewhat cynical approach, but yeah, we do have a tendency here in Ohio to change the pronunciation, just like Medina, Ohio. Anywhere else would be called Medina, but. Anyway, if you'll hold, Nancy, we'll talk about this on the other side of the break. And stay tuned. We got an hour and a half to go. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'm the pastor of the Richfield Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. And you can find out more about us if you go to our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And from there, you can link to our home church for the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, and certainly invite you to visit us if you're in the area. And then you can also check out, if you're especially if you're on the east side of Cleveland, you can check out one of our other sponsors, and that is East Coast Pizza. You can find East Coast Pizza at 4889 Turney Road. That's 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. And you can give them a call at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. And let them know you heard about them here on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. All right. Well, I want to get back to Nancy here, and we were talking about the situation in East Palestine, Ohio, and the train wreck, the derailment there, a number of cars, a toxic chemical that was released, chemicals that were released into the environment, and then the controlled burn, which it's incredible watching the plume of thick black smoke going up into the air. You can actually see it, satellite imagery shows this black blot in the air above the area. And then, of course, the chemicals that are running down the streams, been reports of dead fish, dead birds, dead chickens, dead animals, and things. And it remains to be seen the effect that it's going to have on the people that are in that area. Many people were evacuated for a time. People are going back, but I don't know. If I was in East Palestine, from what I've seen so far, I don't think I would want to drink the water there yet. We have Nancy, who has called in. She was asking about it on the other side of the break. Nancy, are you still with us?
Yes, Pastor Al.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, you're asking about the movie, I believe, that was that was released on Netflix. We had mentioned that in the last half hour. Back in August, Netflix had a movie that was about a train that has a massive derailment with a number of cars containing vinyl chloride and other chemicals that are released into the air, forming a poisonous cloud that drifts over the area of East Palestine, Ohio. And when they were filming that, a number of residents of East Palestine actually appeared as extras in the movie. And now here we are in February with the movie becoming reality. And so it's got a lot of people wondering, were they doing this on purpose? Were they trying to tell us, why would they be trying to tell us in advance what they're going to do unless it's some kind of perverse pleasure that they have? Or was it a case where somebody saw it and said, you know what? We can do this. We really don't know the answer to that right now. But it certainly is a disaster, and it's an ecological disaster, the likes of which we still do not know the ramifications of. So certainly we pray for the people that are there, and we were talking about Nehemiah's Network as well. They're gathering water to take bottled water to the residents there, and it's a serious situation.
Yes, and then another angle, I did hear that, is it Norfolk Western? Is that the name of the railroad?
Norfolk Southern, I think it was, wasn't it?
Norfolk Southern. I did hear that for the longest time that they have been trying to get help to correct some kind of a break, something to do with their brakes for the longest time, and they had not gotten help, so it could be just a failure of the brakes that the whoever's over, this railroad did not help them, correct their faulty brakes. So it could be something like that, and not that this conspiracy thing that I mentioned.
Well, and see, that's just it. It's just it. We just don't know. We really don't know. And in regards to the brakes, they do believe that some of the axles locked up on the one train car. There's actual video from security cameras along the tracks that caught the train going by with sparks and flames underneath the one. And then I guess there's some monitoring stations along the tracks that monitor the cars. I heard somebody saying that the length of some of the trains today makes it hard for people in the engine to look back to spot potential problems because the train is just so long. In fact, I heard one group, retired railroad engineer, he was saying that he was advocating that they should bring back the caboose. Remember the caboose that used to be at the end of the train?
Oh, yeah.
Always loved that when I was a kid. Be sitting at train tracks and watch the train go by, and then you'd see that caboose go by. And now they replaced that with a little beacon on the end of the thing there. But they were saying that some of these long trains should have a caboose at the end to help monitor the back half of the train. But whatever the case is, and another thing, too, is they were talking about the maintenance time on these cars. In many cases, they're not getting the maintenance that they need, and part of that is because in our post COVID world, we're still short a lot of workers in places.
Oh,
and they
sure.
just don't have the workers. They're trying to cut corners. They're trying to cut costs. They're taking shortcuts. And mm-hmm. stuff is not getting done that ought to get done. So there's just a whole cascade effect of things that's going on. But again, as I said in the beginning of the program, these things, along with the earthquakes and the other things that are happening, show that we live in perilous times and things getting worse and worse in the world around us. And it's one of the things that Paul said that would happen in the last days. Perilous times mm-hmm. would come. And I believe we're seeing that taking place. We are seeing the New World Order, the globalists, working diligently. They believe that the global order is in their grasp. They were very outspoken on it in Davos back in January. They're the elite. And, of course, I've been following this since the 1970s. And, one thing I learned in the late 70s, early 80s, I'm trying to remember where I first remember reading it, is a lot of these globalists, they want the world population reduced down to no more than 500 million people. Well, let's see, how many billions of people do we have right now? It's a little over 500 million with an M, isn't it?
6 billion?
Yeah, 6 billion, whatever it is. It's a lot of people that have to go.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of things that work towards this. The banning of DDT. I'm concerned about the environment, and I follow a lot of this stuff. You know, I've been involved in natural resource management in the past and stuff like that. There's some of my own personal history and all. And Rachel Carlson's Silent Spring that came out, I think, in the, what was it, the 50s or maybe in the, as early as the late 40s, but I think it was in the 50s. And basically she was saying because of the different things that the birds would no longer be singing and we'd have no birds. And basically we're all going to die because of our modern society. That was one of the early ones of the panic books, because the world is coming to an end, and if we don't stop living a modern lifestyle and allow our government to tax us anything that we do have, and stop driving cars, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Otherwise, we're all going to die. She's one of the early ones. Silent Spring was a great work of fiction, and it was not true. A lot of people believe it's true, but it was a good work of fiction. It's really what it amounted to. And on the basis of that and some other things, the new EPA in the 1970s banned DDT, and the director, actually President Nixon, established the Environmental Protection Agency in the 1970s, hoping that it would earn him some support on in the environmentalist movement and all of that. The head of the EPA basically had a pile of studies on his desk showing that DDT was safe. It wasn't a danger to the environment. It was very effective for getting rid of mosquitoes and controlling malaria. In fact, the guy that invented DDT used to go around he promoted it, and he would stir up a spoonful of DDT in a glass of water and drink it. I believe he finally died in his 80s or something like that, if I'm not mistaken. And it cut his life short. He might have lived to his 90s. But DDT was saving millions of lives in parts of the world plagued with malaria. And the elimination of DDT just set back the efforts to control malaria. And there's probably millions of people who have died as a result of malaria that would have been alive otherwise. And the head of the EPA had all these studies showing that DDT was safe and effective and useful. And he basically swept them all in the trash can and said, I'm banning DDT because it's not safe. That's what he did, you know. So he did not follow the science. He said, "Here's the science that says it's safe. I don't agree with it. We're going to sweep it all in the trash, and I'm going to ban it as not being safe." And they tied a lot of foreign aid and different things to it. But here's the ulterior motive: these people want to reduce the world population. What better way to do it than allowing malaria to flourish amongst populations that they consider already too many of them, and they're people that aren't going to contribute to our globalist order. So we'll just get rid of these people off in the third world. And, of course, you know, the promotion of homosexuality, they don't have children. The drag queen and the certainly now the transgender and all that, they're certainly rendered incapable of having children. Many of these things are reducing the number of children that are born.
Yes.
And there's just a number of things that they have been using to try and slow the growth of the world population with the goal of eventually turning it around. And some of these people are actually on record saying there's coming a time where we just basically need to round up and eliminate people. Useless eaters, for
that,
one
that
thing.
That sounds like what North Korea or Russia or China is saying publicly, but I wouldn't be surprised if some of the people at Davos are saying that behind closed doors. But, you know, there's so many ways that they are reducing the world population. Just look at fentanyl. I mean,
And before we get to fentanyl, abortion,
abortion
has reduced the world population growth.
I think that is the top reducer of world population, and all the people like Bill Gates and all the New World Order people, they are all for abortion. I know this is a huge depopulation.
And certainly fentanyl, like you brought that up. Fentanyl today is the number one killer of young military, and I'm saying this, we were talking about this Friday night, our Bible study. Fentanyl is the number one killer of young military age men in America today. And I think that's, I believe that's by design. The Chinese are supplying the ingredients to the Mexican cartels. The Biden administration, which has been demonstrated by the Hunter laptop and the emails and the material that's on that, that the intelligence former intelligence officials swore was a Russian hoax. And now they're saying, well, we didn't really say it was, even though they signed a letter saying that it was. I actually read the letter. And so they're complicit. This administration is complicit with the open borders to allow this fentanyl to flood into our country. It's in every state. It's in every county. And it's probably in virtually every community in our nation. And it's just unreal. And now if you were China, think about this. China is at war with us. We just don't want to admit it. They are angling to be the world superpower to replace us. And if you were looking to a future war with the United States, wouldn't you want to soften the enemy up by, let's say, killing off a lot of their military age young men? Because once a war starts, the military, I heard recently, is only getting about 20% of its recruitment goals. And some people are wondering, do we need to bring a draft back, or at least a partial draft, in order to build up our military? But here's all these young military-age men being killed off by fentanyl, and then we've got a bunch of them being told, well, you're really not a boy, you're a girl, and they're giving them drugs, and they're surgically mutilating their bodies, and even though the military is allowing them in, they're not deployable. You can't deploy them because they're recovering from surgeries. They're on drug therapy. They won't let somebody in with flat feet because they're not deployable, but they'll put in a transgender. They're destroying the military. And then the military, when they should be preparing for external threats to our country, says the number one threat to our country is MAGA hat wearing white men.
Mm-hmm.
White separatists, you know, and
and
think about it. Along with the third world residents of South and Central America that are streaming into the United States over our open southern border, in recent weeks we've seen indications that there's large numbers of military age Chinese men coming into our country, and they're going somewhere.
Yeah.
Where are they going? It's as if China is softening us up for a future war, and Biden and his administration are complicit. Well, you know, the fact that they're getting millions of dollars from the Chinese communist government funneled through Hunter Biden with 10% for the big guy. Maybe we can make a connection here.
But the
globalists, of course, all look at this from their perspective. They need the United States reduced in power and stature in order to further their plans, because a strong United States with a strong middle class is a threat to their globalist plans. And that's what's keeping them in check. And but we know it's even more than that, because as we've said before in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where it says the mystery of iniquity is already working in verse 7, but it's being held back, it's being restrained. And of course, it's being restrained by the Spirit of God working through his children in the world, where we're called to be salt and light in the world, and really working through the United States, through God's people in the United States. God has been able to hold back a lot of this, and it's been the impediment to the globalist goals. Back after World War I, when they instituted the League of Nations, that was part of the goal, was to bring the world together as a world community, but America would not come into that, and that doomed the League of Nations. When when the United Nations was formed after World War II, it basically was formed out of the League of Nations, and basically built on the skeleton of the League of Nations. They located its headquarters in New York City in an effort to draw America into it, and they were successful. But a lot of what's going on and what they want to do to form a world government has been opposed by the American people, and especially by God's people in this country. And so as a consequence, they're being hindered. And we know, of course, the next thing on God's calendar is the catching away of the believers, what's commonly referred to as the rapture. And when that takes place, then the mystery of iniquity will be unrestrained, and it will be able to come to fruition. And as Paul wrote to the Thessalonians there in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8, "And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved." And that wicked that's going to be revealed, that's the Antichrist, the beast of Revelation, the Antichrist, as he's known, that is going to come to power, and he is going to lead this world government. And that will not happen until the restrainer of the mystery of iniquity is taken out of the way. And I believe that's when the rapture takes place. The Spirit of God currently ministering through us, and when we're gone, he won't be ministering in quite the same way. That doesn't mean God won't be in the world, obviously, because God is here. And even before the Spirit of God came on the disciples in the New Testament, the Spirit of God was still working in the world, just in a different way. And so right now, the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to work through believers. And so when somebody puts their faith in Christ at that moment, they don't have to beg and wait for it to happen later. At the very moment of salvation, the Spirit of God takes up residence in that new believer. And that new believer now has the Spirit of God in them. In fact, Paul said it's impossible to be a Christian and not have the Spirit, the Holy Spirit in you, because he says in Romans chapter 8, verse number 9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. That Spirit of God is the Holy Spirit. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Spirit of Christ, Spirit of God, Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, those are synonymous. It's the same. And so as a consequence, we see the devil working, trying to bring things to fruition. And the United States and Christians in the United States are a big obstacle to their plans. Well, got off onto quite a bit there with that, Nancy.
Oh, well, thank
I appreciate
you.
That's wonderful. Yeah, I appreciate the call there.
Can I just ask you
yes.
one real quick question? How are the Chinese or whoever is producing the fentanyl, how are they able to get away with putting fentanyl into legitimate prescription drugs? That's what I can't figure out, because I've heard that some people are dying, that they're taking their prescription drugs, which they think are going to be, you know, pure, but somehow fentanyl got...
Well, let's put it this way.
Yeah.
A lot of fentanyls, or a lot of prescription drugs are produced in China. We're dependent on China for a lot of our pharmaceuticals. That's one of the problems we have. And I wouldn't put it past them. But they're having a great deal of success putting it into you know, other drugs that's coming across the southern border. And they're very successful at killing Americans. During the State of the Union address, Biden tried to downplay the number, and people shouted out, it's over 100,000 a year are dying from this. And it's atrocious that people aren't crying out against this. But Nancy, we're coming up on the end of this hour here, and I got Terry, who's been patiently waiting as well, but certainly we're going to have to probably carry Terry over into the next half hour, because I don't think we have enough time to get him on even to quick say hello here. But yeah, we need to look at what's going on, and then like Jesus said in Luke chapter 21, we're not supposed to be overwhelmed. We're supposed to look up, because our redemption draweth nigh. And, you know, the devil wants us to be scared. The devil wants us to feel overwhelmed. The devil wants us to feel that we can't do anything, but we need to look up. Our redemption draweth nigh. We need to get back into the scriptures and put our faith in Christ. Get saved if you're not saved. If you are saved, live for God. Stay in his word. Stay tuned. Another hour to go.